Hello, my name is Kathy Kramer. I'm a member of First Unitarian Church. Today is June the 2nd. It's a Thursday, June the 2nd, 2016. I'm conducting an interview on behalf of First Unitarian Church's Oral History Project with Susan Condy Harris Wilburn. And so we are going to begin the interview. So, Susan, let's start with a brief autobiography. May I begin by asking you to tell me a little bit about your background?
I was born on October 3rd, 1926, at the Old Jewish Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. I was taken from the hospital to Kenwood Hill and stayed there, lived there until I was married to Robert K. Wilburn, Bob Wilburn, on June the 16th, 1948.
Okay. And how about your education? Where'd you go to school?
I went to first grade at Beachmont Elementary School, and then went to Auburndale School, which was a country school in those days, which I loved, not having been happy at Beachmont, and went there through the seventh grade. Then I went to Kentucky Home School for Girls, which was in the Highlands, and I rode the streetcar there an hour each way, each day. And then I went to the University of Louisville.
Okay. And you said you married Bob, and then how many children did you have?
Oh, we had three children. Oh, and I forgot to tell you about my birth family. Mm-hmm. It's my mother and father and four siblings, mm-hmm. Harriet, Mary Walton, Bright, and Tyree Harris. And we lived at Kenwood Hill and had a marvelous childhood.
Okay.
And then about my own family, Bob and I had three children, Tyree, Lee, and Susan. And we lived in a little house at Kenwood Hill, which we bought or built, and until our children were headed for double session in the county schools, and we chose not to live that way, and we moved to the city where they wouldn't have double sessions. Mm-hmm. And all three of the children then ended up going to the University of Louisville.
And yeah, it's my understanding that as you, when your children got older, you worked at U of L.
Yes, that's correct. I mm-hmm. was a staff member. My story is I started at the top and worked my way down. My first job was in the president's office, and I was there for several years, and then I was assistant to the dean at the Speed School of Engineering.
Okay, so how many years did you work at U of L?
I never have figured that out. Let's see, 1970 till I worked there about 15 or 16 years.
Okay. Can you tell me, I need to remember to say this, that you are a third generation member of First Unitarian Church?
Yes, mm-hmm. Third generation Unitarian. I'm not positive that my grandparents ever actually joined the church, but they were active in the church.
Okay.
And my mother and father were married at First Unitarian Church.
Okay.
And Bob and I were married at First Unitarian Church. Oh. And our daughter Susan and her husband Bill Hart were married at First Unitarian Church.
So you were, and what year were you born?
1926.
So that you were born into the church?
Yes.
You were dedicated there?
I suppose so. Mm-hmm. I know I have a certificate someplace. I was on the cradle roll.
Is that right?
Yes.
They called it?
Yes.
So about the church, can you share with me any of the earliest memories you have of what the church looked like? Like, what do you remember about walking into the church on a Sunday morning?
I don't know about a particular time, but I can still feel the feeling of walking into that huge sanctuary mm-hmm. with those high ceilings mm-hmm. and just it, to me it was breathtaking mm-hmm. it was beautiful mm-hmm. Peaceful and lovely.
And did you, in those days, you would have walked in from the 4th Street entrance, the front?
No, this would have, I would already be in the church building and would have walked in from the other part of the church.
The other part of the church.
Yes. Rarely did I enter the church from the main entrance, which was then the on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's, the church pews were facing
Facing 4th
Street
east.
Was yeah facing east, that's right, and the pulpit was at the end of the church. You would face east in order to see the minister. And was there a choir loft, or
yes,
was it behind that where the minister was?
Not behind him, mm-hmm. but to the left.
To the left.
Mm-hmm.
And where was the, do you remember where the organ was?
Yes, right there at the choir loft.
Okay. And yeah. Were there stained glass windows?
Oh, yes.
Were there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the floor, do you remember, was the floor wood? Must have been a wood floor.
I don't remember. I remember carpeting. I don't really remember. Mm-hmm. I know there was a wooden floor, but
mm-hmm. And the walls were white.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about
times when I taught Sunday school? I thought his sermons were excellent. Just really outstanding. I'm sure it was his sermons that brought a number of university professors and their families mm-hmm. to be members of First Unitarian Church. One of my stories about when they lived on Bonnycastle Avenue, the Westons had a neighbor across the street who had many very late parties on Saturday night. And of course, Mr. Weston had to get up early and needed a good night's rest on Saturday. One night in particular in the summer, the guests across the street stayed longer than usual till 3 or so in the morning. So when Mr. Weston got up about 6, he took his record player out, put it on the front porch, and put on "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" and turned it up to top levels.
That's funny. Okay. One thing I forgot to ask you about when we were talking about Hines, that you had said before that the church members did the work of the church, that you had mentioned one church member who was very talented and can do just about anything. Now, who that was?
That was Mr. Van Overbeek.
Mm-hmm.
And he and other men who were in the church, and I'm sure it isn't just that time, but I just remember particularly mm-hmm. that he was very active in mm-hmm. taking care of the church and very talented.
Mm-hmm. And making repairs.
And making repairs and making things, as many years later, Harry Toby mm-hmm. made beautiful furniture.
The beautiful furniture, yeah.
Yes,
we still
yes.
use it. Still
yes.
use it.
Yes,
unfortunately,
indeed.
We've got an archive, we got a listing of that.
Good.
Oh, yeah. And you also mentioned your mother. She worked in the office?
Oh, yes. Mama was a volunteer every Monday morning at the church. And She, part of the time when she was doing that, we didn't have a church secretary,
mm-hmm.
but Mr. Isom came in as a young associate minister, and he had graduated from the Baptist Seminary here, and his views on religion had changed dramatically, and mm-hmm. so he became a Unitarian minister.
Hmm.
But during his tenure here, he was associate and working in the office.
Mm-hmm.
In a minute.
Okay. Now I'd like to talk about you in terms of church activities. What sort of church activities have you participated in? Work of the church have you participated in over the years?
I either taught Sunday school or sang in the choir.
Oh, okay.
On Sundays.
Do you remember any particular stories about Sunday school, what grades you taught, where the Sunday school was?
When I taught Sunday school, it was either at First Unitarian Church up on the second floor,
mm-hmm.
Or it was when we started what we called the chapel, which mm-hmm. is now Thomas Jefferson Unitarian
Church. Oh, you taught there too?
I taught there with Mrs. A.B. Sawyer.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And of course, learned a great deal from her because had taught school for years and years.
Really?
Preschool.
Did you go to, in those days, did you go to both churches then? Would you attend service?
For several years, maybe 3 years, I taught out at what is now Thomas Jefferson. And then Mr. Weston said people need to decide whether they're going to be members here at the chapel it was then, or downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was no question in my mind that I belonged at First Unitarian,
mm-hmm.
so I went back downtown then.
Oh, I see. So for a while there, it was you could go to either one, but then he said you had decisions had to be made.
Yes.
So were you and your husband some of the first members who helped establish Thomas Jefferson Unitarian
yes.
Church?
Yes.
How did that come about? Can you recollect how that started?
We outgrew our space at 4th and York.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember a map of Jefferson County being on the wall, and everybody put a little pin in where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And the big chunk of the membership lived out in the area around TJ.
Oh, okay.
And so that's where they decided to look for property, which they did, and bought the property there on Highway 22.
On 22. And
yes.
So there were several members who like you, they helped with their time and their money to get the church started.
Yes.
My understanding. Yes. And eventually then some of them stayed at Thomas Jefferson,
right.
And others went back to, stayed with First Unitarian.
Correct.
Okay.
And some people who stayed at it, Thomas Jefferson had a dual membership.
Oh, they did?
Were members of both places.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And that was, let's see, around in the early 50s. Is that right? I think that's what it was. As I recall, I've seen that. So you were active with Sunday school. And your mother volunteered, and were there any other, you were on committees, and you were on the Board of Trustees?
Yes, I was on Board of Trustees, and I really don't remember various committees I have served on.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like you've been very busy throughout the years, although you said, though, that you backed off during...
When I was working.
When you were working.
Yeah.
You were on the search committee that invited Bob Reed to become the minister in 1968.
Right.
Right. And that was a big job.
Yes.
Your family life, you were busy with your family and then with that, and it was a very busy time for you.
My mother was living with us, and I was working at the University of Louisville, still had children living at home, and I had to clean the house now and then, and something had to give, so it was church.
Yep.
Back one thing to the search committee that brought Bob Reed here.
Oh, yeah.
We could tell that he was about to turn us down. And it was what he had observed was lack of interest in civil rights of our congregation. Mm-hmm. So George Kimbrough, and this is my recollection anyway, George Kimbrough called Bob and talked to him at length, and that changed Bob's mind because George was very involved in civil rights and...
Oh, really?
Yes.
And oh.
So.
And you mentioned earlier when we were just talking, you mentioned George Kimbrough's ability or success at persuading the owner of the now Haywood House, he thought. Can you share a little bit about that story there?
Yes. Before we owned Haywood, long before we owned Haywood House, we had wanted to buy it. We needed to expand our property. And when George Kimbrough became a member of our church, they found that his father had been a Baptist minister, and I think at Walnut Street Baptist Church, where the owner at that time of the house lived, that was next door to the church. So George went to call on the lady whom he knew and who remembered George, and she was delighted to see him, and they had a very nice visit and talked about old times. And then George got around to explaining to her what the mission of his visit was, that he was now a member of First Unitarian Church and they were interested in buying her property. But she almost fainted, and that was the end of their visit, and she would have nothing to do with George or the church.
But then later on, eventually, the church did buy the house.
Yeah. I think it was after she died.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about if we go on a little bit, and if you would care to share any recollections that you may have about any of the ministers, Philip Smith, David Brown, Bob Reed, or Richard Beale.
David Brown was one of my favorite people. He was just a wonderful man. Mm-hmm. Had a very difficult upbringing. He lived in an orphanage. Oh. And I remember his saying that the only impression he had of a mother figure was in the orphanage, which was made in the shape of a cross so that the woman in charge could sit at a desk in the center where the cross crossed each other, and she could see into all four dormitories at night. And he said, lying in bed and looking at that, that was the closest thing to a mother that he could imagine growing up.
Wow.
He was a wonderful man, and the young people all just adored him. Mm-hmm. And from little children on up.
Mm-hmm. And he was, it was very sad that he died at such a young age.
Yes,
and
it was.
And he was only there for 4 years. Yeah, 4 years, 63 to 67. Yeah. Very turbulent times in terms of civil rights, too, in Louisville and else in the United States.
Yes.
And he managed to... he left a mark there. And we had mentioned Bob Reed before, and he was, you all had hired him. And
Bob Reed was absolutely wonderful to my mother. He, when Mama lived with us, and of course during the day, Bob and I both at work, no children at home, they were at school. And I don't know how frequently, but very frequently, Bob would stop by and visit Mama. Mm-hmm. And she really looked forward to that, and he meant a great deal in her life and ours too.
And he was, and he left, he retired from the church in 1985, and not too long after that was the fire.
Yes.
And that must have been quite a time for the church, trying to find a new minister and getting used to the idea that Bob Reed wouldn't be there. And it just must have been a really hard, difficult time.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the time that we spent, of course, we couldn't have services there at church. The sister Eileen from Spalding came down and offered us their auditorium to have our church services, which was just wonderful. She was there immediately offering help.
Wonderful.
And we did have church services there, and then finally rented a church in the West End. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who said, oh, they absolutely would not go to the West End. They were fearful of mm-hmm. going to the West End. And some bright person in our congregation got police reports about the address in the West End where that church was and activities at the corner of 4th and York. Mm-hmm. And it was much more dangerous at 4th and York than it was at the place in the West End where we went.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And I don't remember how long we were there, but mm-hmm. that's where we went to church.
And then the church was and then while you were doing that, you were also in the process of hiring Richard
yes,
Beale.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And he was a wonderful help mm-hmm. to us all. Mm-hmm. And then the planning for the new church and so forth. And as I recall, Claudia Runge was in charge of mm-hmm. of that committee. And watch out for anything Claudia's in charge of, because it gets done.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And they did that committee did a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's how we got John Grossman.
Yes, the architect.
The architect, and mm-hmm. now a longtime member of the church.
And his mother joined.
Yes, his mother. Yes.
Right, and the whole
and
family.
And Patty comes to church mm-hmm. with him too when mm-hmm. she can. And I remember vividly the day that we, day before we were to have our first services in the church, mm-hmm. and many people were down there helping, and I was out sweeping out back by the alley, cleaning up that area, and down the alley came Dr. Dillon, who was the vice president, academic vice president for the University of Louisville. Uh-huh. And he was also teaching some classes at Spalding University. And he and some Spalding people came down the alley. And he said, "My goodness, Susan, what are you doing here?" And I said, "We're about to open our church for first services tomorrow, and we're getting it all prepared." And I said, "Would you like to see our new building?" And he said, "Oh, yes, absolutely." So these people came in, and went all through the church, and when we came out, he said, well, if I were the fire marshal, I would be very suspicious of this group.
Oh, that's funny. Would you like to say anything, any memories that you have of things that have happened that we haven't covered?
Perhaps so. Can't think of it, though.
That's fine. I wanted to make sure we covered everything.
Well, I haven't said anything about Richard Beale.
Yes.
Who is still one of my favorite people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was absolutely wonderful to me when he first came here. First there was Anita Berg had died, and Anita and I were good friends. There was something else that happened, and I can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
And then my little grandson was killed in an accident, and Richard came to the hospital. He was so supportive for me. He was just what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And he had wonderful, very intellectual sermons, often way over my head,
mm-hmm.
but I tried to understand them. And he's a fine human being.
Yes.
And
I was just thinking about her. Okay. Yes.
He and Joan made a whole lot of difference in Louisville, Kentucky, in mm-hmm. their time here.
Yeah.
She with her school.
Mm-hmm. The community
as a school
involvement.
Teacher and involvement, both of them, and I still miss being able to talk with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I think that, have I missed anything? Is there anything that you would like to? I think we have covered just about everything that we wanted to cover, and I really appreciate your willingness to be interviewed.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you very much.